Chapter 8. It is one of the peculiar truths of life that people often say things that they know full well are ridiculous. If someone asks you how you are, for example, you might automatically say, "Fine, thank you," when in fact, you have just failed an examination or been trampled by an ox. A friend might tell you, "I've looked everywhere in the world for my keys," when you know that they have actually only looked a few places in the immediate area. Once I said to a woman I loved very much, "I'm sure that this trouble will end soon, and you and I will spend the rest of our lives together in happiness and bliss," when I actually suspected that things were about to get much worse. And so it was with the two elder Baudelaires, when they stood face to face with Quigley Quagmire and found themselves to be saying things they knew were absurd.
"You're dead,"
Violet said, and took off her mask to make sure she was seeing things clearly. But there was no mistaking Quigley. Even though the Baudelaires had never seen him before, he looked so much like Duncan and Isadora that he could only be the third Quagmire triplet.
"You've perished in a fire along with your parents,"
Klaus said. But as he took off his mask, he knew this wasn't so. Quigley was even giving the two Baudelaires a small smile that looked exactly like his siblings.
"No,"
Quigley said. "I survived, and I've been looking for my siblings ever since."
"But how did you survive?"
Violet asked. "Duncan and Isadora said that the house burned to the ground."
"It did,"
Quigley said sadly. He looked out at the frozen waterfall and sighed deeply.
"I suppose I should start at the beginning.
I was in my family's library, studying a map of the finite forest, when I heard a shattering of glass and people shouting. My mother ran into the room and said there was a fire. We tried to go out the front door, but the main hall was filled with smoke, so she took me back into the library and lifted a corner of the rug. There was a secret door underneath. She told me to wait down below while she fetched my siblings, and she left me there in the dark. I remember hearing the house falling to pieces above me, and the sound of frantic footsteps, and my siblings screaming." Quigley put his mask down on the ground and looked at the two Baudelaires.
"But she never came back,"
he said.
"Nobody came back.
And when I tried to open the door, something had fallen on top of it and it wouldn't budge."
"How did you get out?" Klaus asked.
"I walked," Quigley said. "When it became clear that no one was going to rescue me, I felt around in the dark and realized I was in a sort of passageway. There was nowhere else to go, so I started walking. I've never been so frightened in my life, walking alone in some dark passageway my parents had kept secret. I couldn't imagine where it would lead." The two Baudelaires looked at one another. They were thinking about the secret passageway they had discovered underneath their home, which they had discovered when they were under the care of Esme Squalor and her husband.
"And where did it lead?"
Violet said.
"To the house of a herpetologist,"
Quigley said. "At the end of the passageway was a secret door that opened into an enormous room made entirely of glass. The room was filled with empty cages, but it was clear that the room had once housed an enormous collection of reptiles."
"We've been there," Klaus cried in amazement. "That's Uncle Monty's house. He was our guardian, until Count Olaf arrived, disguised as..."
"As a lab assistant," Quigley finished. "I know. His suitcase was still there."
"There was a secret passageway under our house, too,"
Violet said.
"But we didn't discover it until we lived with Esme Squalor."
"There are secrets everywhere," Quigley said. "I think everyone's parents have secrets. You just have to know where to look for them."
"But why would our parents, and yours, have tunnels underneath their homes, leading to a fancy apartment building and a herpetologist's home?"
Klaus said.
"It doesn't make any sense."
Quigley sighed and put his backpack on the ashen ground next to his mask. "There's a lot that doesn't make sense," he said. "I was hoping to find the answers here, but now I don't know if I'll ever find them." He took out his purple notebook and opened it to the first page. "All I can tell you is what I have here in this commonplace book.
Klaus gave Quigley a small smile and reached into his pockets to retrieve all of the papers he had stored there. "You tell us what you know," he said, "and we'll tell you what we know. Perhaps together we can answer our own questions." Quigley nodded in agreement, and the three children sat in a circle on what was once the kitchen floor.